and open your Bibles, please, to Psalm chapter 34. And we're going to start this series this week. This will be at least a four-parter, if not longer than that, but we'll see. And believe it or not, it'll tie in really good with Thanksgiving coming up here in just a few weeks. I cannot believe we're already into the holiday season. It just, where has this year gone? But, you know, everybody has them, nobody wants them, and only a few people really know how to deal with them, and that is problems. Anybody in here not have any problems? Because we'll pray for you for lying. The Bible explicitly tells us how we can deal with them, and there is a really clear-cut way, and, you know, if a problem never gets dealt with, it never goes away. Thank you for that overwhelming round of silence. I know a lot of you are hoping the problems go away if you just ignore them. Anybody one of those kind of people, I'll just ignore it, and it'll go away. Y'all awake this morning? Did y'all get up? Y'all got an extra hour of sleep last night, right? So. A lot of people ignore their problems thinking that they're going to go away, but listen, unless a problem gets dealt with, it never does go away. And in Psalm chapter 34, verse number 17, the Bible says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." Now that's the New King James Version. If you read it in the New Century Version, it says this, verse 19, "People who do what is right have many problems, but the Lord will solve them all." Now, that's not really what you like to hear, that we're going to have a lot of problems. But all you got to do is really just look at your own life, and you know it's true. But praise God, the Lord delivers us, come on, out of them all. All. You know, there's not one problem that you're facing right now that the Lord can't take care of or hasn't already taken care of. And that ought to make somebody happy in here today. Listen, problems are common to us all. Now, we're going to look at a lot of scripture today because this is part one and this is kind of the setup for the rest of it. We're going to look at a lot of scripture today. Go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But problems are common to us all, Christians and unbelievers alike. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.'" These two scriptures right here are talking about problems that are facing us. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul says we don't lose hope when these things come and face us. How can Paul be so confident and say that? Well, it's because we know there's an answer. Anybody else grow up in the time when they put the answers of your math questions in the back of the book? How many of you, be honest, you're in church, be honest, would cheat and look at those? And then your teachers got smart and started assigning the ones that weren't in the back of the book, like the odd numbers weren't in the back of the book. So the teacher started assigning those for homework, so you couldn't even go check your work. But I want to check my work, make sure I did it right. Kind of made homework a little easier at that point in time because you knew the answer was in the back of the book. And that's what Paul's saying here. We don't lose hope when we face bad things. Why? Because we know the answer. And Jesus is, right after that, or before that, in Mark chapter 11, says, listen, you're going to be facing some things that are mountains. Now, I think it's funny that Jesus chose the term mountain here. He didn't talk about, you know, white fluffy clouds. And he didn't talk about molehills. And he didn't, you know, he didn't talk about, you know, things that are a pushover. He talked about the biggest thing on the planet besides the continents themselves. He talked about mountains and said, if you speak to this mountain and tell it to get up and move, it will. Meaning this, some of the problems in our lives are going to be huge. But no matter how big they are or how small they are, come on, somebody, there's an answer for them. It's good. The largest thing on the earth, Jesus likened to things that we need to move in our lives. But the things that he says right after that is teaching us this. No obstacle should be able to stand before our faith in God. I'm going to say that again because it kind of went over like a lead balloon. No obstacle should be able to stand before our faith in God. I want to say this, too. I grew up in the Pentecostal circles and most recently in the Word of Faith circles. And it's almost like when you start talking about problems or people have problems in their lives, it's almost like it's a sign that there's something wrong with you. Anybody else ever hear? You know, it's like you're going through something. It's like, well, where'd you miss God at? You know, what's that secret sin you got going on in your life that you're having to face this problem? Anybody else ever hear those terms? I did. And it's like, nothing that I know of. And the thing is I want to make this statement to you today. Problems are not a sign that something's wrong with you. Problems are a sign that something's right with you. I don't know about that. I just don't know about that. Listen, the only time you're not going to have problems in your life is when you're dead. And depending on where you go, will mean whether you got a whole new set of problems or an incredible reward. But that's the only time we're not going to have problems is when we're dead. And, you know, I heard a pastor say one time, he said, if you're facing something, that either means that you're in the will of God or you're not in the will of God. And I was like, well, thanks for that great revelation. They're there. They are there. And they're going to be there. All right? But problems, every one of them, are a sign to us that we're alive, that we're still breathing, that we still have a purpose, and that somebody's trying to slow us down. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Another translation of that says, remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering that you are. Listen, no matter what kind of problems you're facing, God did give us a way out. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, or if you're a regular that does know Christ, let me say this to you. God made a promise to you. He promised you answers to your problems. And no matter even if you don't know Christ at all, to know that the creator of the universe actually made a promise to you should be something that gets your attention. He was thinking about you when he made promises. He was thinking about you when he said, you can speak to this mountain. All right? God gave us a way out. God has made promises to you, to me, for us, that if we never use them, our problems just sit there and look at us. Now, again, let's go back to the back of the book, Answers. You know, those never did you any good until you flipped over there. I remember when my parents bought me a calculator. I got into algebra, and they got me one of them fancy, where you got to have a degree, calculators to use it. You know what I'm talking about? My parents bought me one of those, I think I was in 10th grade, Algebra 2. With trigonometry, which I don't really remember any of. Praise God. But I remember being almost as much confused by the calculator itself as the homework I was doing. And so that calculator did me no good just sitting there at all. And listen, there's a lot of problems that people are facing in their life that God has given the answer to, and we're going to get into what those answers are. But as this is sitting here, looking at them. It's not doing them any good. And we start getting doctrine of people saying, well, God just putting this on me to teach me something, or God's just leading me through these hard times. And God just, listen, God doesn't put hard times on you. God gives you the answers to the way out of them. It's up to us to go find out what they are. God has made promises to us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, we don't really talk this way anymore. You know, when you say shield, most people in modern day think Captain America, slinging it across the... Most people, you know, we don't think shields anymore, and we don't think fiery darts of the enemy. Nobody thinks like that anymore. So in order to kind of bring everybody up to speed, I thought we would just go back in time for a minute and see exactly the kind of terminology Paul was using here when Paul wrote this. And he said, taking up the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. So just as an imaginatory thing here, I want you to just watch this real quick. Hello!
In college.
What are you laughing at?
You had to say it.
What?
Fight in the shade.
Recover! Today, no Spartan dies!
Now, some of you may be thinking, where did they find that footage of you, Brent? Listen, that's the way a lot of people feel when the problems come in their life. It's almost like the problems are so overwhelming they start to blot out the sun. Now, if you know anything about this movie, this is actually a true story of the 300 Spartans that defended Greece from the Persian Empire. And, of course, it's been dramatized quite a bit, comic bookized. But there's a statement that actually is in all the history books that when the Persians came and told them that they had to surrender because if you don't, our arrows will blot out the sun, they actually made the statement, well, that's okay, we'll just fight in the shade. And that's why they started laughing there, because they had made the problem. We'll just fight. You go ahead. Launch them on over here. We'll fight in the shade. And that's why they were, in the face of their problems, were able to laugh. And I start thinking, man, this is the way it's supposed to be with us. I mean, they're there. They're underneath the shield, which is what our faith is a shield from the from the problems that are coming against us. And when they start hitting, we can just laugh. Why? It's not the best, most fun place to be. But guess what? Those arrows aren't getting through. What's happening there? We're dealing with those. We're handling those. And that's a great picture of taking up the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. What are we talking about? Dealing with our problems. Your problems get dealt with the same way that you got saved. Now, how many of you remember how you got saved? Now, I was at youth camp when I got saved. Anybody else? Any youth campers that got saved? No? Nobody else? All right. I was at youth camp, and I remember I went down front, and they led me in the sinner's prayer. And I remember it was specifically, I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe that God raised him from the dead. And so now I confess that with my mouth, or I say that with my mouth. Listen, this is how your problems get dealt with the same way your problem of being unsaved gets dealt with, by the words that are coming out of your mouth. All right, now, Romans chapter 10, verse number 8 through 10 gives us that example. You know, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and he's the Son of God, and God raised him from the dead. And so if that's what deals with your problem of not being saved and your problem of going to hell, then that means your problems need to be dealt with the same way. And we're going to look at that right now. Go ahead and turn back over to Mark chapter 11. And I want to say this to you. Your problems can hear you. Your problems can hear you. And you have to speak the word of God to those problems the same way you spoke the word of God about not being saved. All right? Now look here in verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now I want you to look at something. This is basic faith 101 stuff right here. I want you to look at this. In this verse, the word believe is in there once, but the word says is in there three times. Okay? For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, we all know that the first step is that you have to believe. You have to have faith. You have to believe. And that's basically what the word faith is a conviction based upon hearing. It's a belief that you're basing what you believe by what you've heard. But then you have to speak that. You have to say that. You have to release what you believe. All right? Now, this was demonstrated by God the Father and Jesus throughout Jesus' time here on the earth and pretty much the whole time when God was creating the earth. He demonstrated how we're supposed to deal with our problems. Let's you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it to you. Genesis chapter 1, and we'll go through a bunch of verses here. Verse number 6 says, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Verse number 9, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered. Verse number 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Verse number 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament. Verse 20, then God said, let the waters abound with. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our own image. Now listen, that's all throughout the whole chapter 1 of Genesis. And you know what followed right after that? Right after it would say that, and then it would say, and then it was so. Or it would say, and so, and then God created. He said it, and it happened. Now, some people maybe say, well, okay, yeah, but that's God. But he's demonstrating how we're supposed to speak his words. Because when we speak his words, it's his words going to do the work. And so if it's his words doing the work, then guess what has to obey? Your problems. And so when we speak, we need to speak like God. Because God knew that it was going to just change, you know, when he said, you know, let there be light. Which I don't know about you, but I've often imagined what that sounded like. And I kind of have this hybrid version of God's voice in my mind of kind of a little bit Barry White and a little bit, come on now, tell the truth, a little bit Charlton Heston and a little bit Darth Vader. I mean, it's like this deep, menacing, but yet comforting. Let there be. I mean, it was just like this, and it just echoed, and then boom, it happened. And God said it, and it happened, and it's like, yeah, he was God. He knew it was going to happen. Well, listen, you're his son. You're his daughter. You have the same rights and privileges he does. And so when you speak, you're not just speaking out just something that's just, you know, noise. You're saying, and so you should be expecting the same thing to happen. Jesus did the same thing. Jesus spoke, number one, to demons. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and catch this, and he cast out the spirits with a word. Not a bunch of travailing and crazy, spooky stuff. He just said, get out, and they left. Okay? Jesus spoke to storms, Mark chapter 4, verse 39. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea. Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus spoke to creation itself in Mark chapter 11, verse 14. Jesus said to the fig tree, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. And we all know what happened there. It was dead the next day. Jesus spoke to the dead and commanded them to live again. There's three instances of this. There's the widow woman's son, Jairus' daughter, and Lazarus, all three of those. Now listen, if you don't know those stories, you know, we could take some time and go there and read that. But there are three times in the Bible where Jesus actually went, and all he did was speak the word and say to them, rise, and they would rise up. There was no, clear. I mean, it was just him saying, rise. What's he's speaking to a problem. All right? Jesus spoke to fevers. Luke chapter 4, verse number 38. Simon Peter's mother-in-law is sick. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made a request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and served them. Now, I heard somebody, I don't remember who it was, but they were kind of quoting Peter there, and it was like Peter's like, I didn't ask him to heal my mother-in-law. But he did anyway. All right. Jesus also spoke, now catch this, he spoke to deaf ears. Mark chapter 7, verse 32, then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue, which is gross. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed. Now catch this. The guy's still deaf. And said to him, be opened. And the Bible says his ears were opened. Now that's something that can't even hear you. Eardrums that are sealed, closed, can't hear. And Jesus spoke to them, and they were open. See, this is a pattern that God the Father and Jesus have demonstrated for us, that our problems can hear us speak to them. Problems can be solved if you will learn to open your mouth and speak to them. Now, sometimes that is some of the most embarrassing things. I've done it in the car many times with nobody around. Because you think, someone would think I'm an absolute nut bar if they saw me right now speaking to my wallet that is empty. Somebody would think that I'm crazy speaking to a runny nose, saying, sinuses, you have to dry up now. Somebody would think, well, who do you think you are? But see, this is the pattern that God the Father and Jesus his Son showed us. This is what he meant when he said, if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. What's he saying? Tell it what to do. Now, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about what your problems should actually be hearing. Because there are certain things that they should be actually hearing. Because when you're speaking, it can't just be saying whatever. And it can't just be you saying what you want to say. Come on now. You can't just be saying, you know, well, you know, I really would like $1 million. Now, listen, Jody and I, we're big Friends fans. Okay, you can, you know, we're about that age group of the whole group that was on the show. And so we felt like we were part of it. Tell the truth, we did. We felt, anybody else felt like Chandler and Monica were like your best friends? Okay, Joey and all the rest of them. And so Ross and Rachel and Phoebe. And so, I mean, everybody started going to coffee bars at that point because they all thought maybe, you know, that the Central Perk was a real place. Okay. And there's at the very first show, they're sitting there, and Ross makes a statement. He goes, I really wish I could get married again. And Rachel comes walking in a wedding dress. And right after that, Chandler looks, and he looks over, and he goes, and I would just like $1 million. You know, hoping that somebody would walk through with $1 million. Listen, you can't just say things that you want to say and expect your problems to go away. There are specific things that your problems need to be hearing in order for them to change. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. Heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm done. Lord, thank you for our time together today. I thank you that you have set this up for us to be able to speak to our problems and watch them change. Our problems don't need to be like baggage and luggage that we keep in the attic forever, even though it doesn't work anymore and even though the wheels are broke off of it. Lord, I thank you that our problems are things that can be taken away, given away, sent away, so they don't have to come back anymore. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that you've placed that power in your word and now in our lips, so that when we speak those things, our problems have to listen. And Lord, I know that as we carry these things around with us, Father, I just pray that if there's people here that have felt shame about problems in their lives, Lord, I pray that you just comfort them today. Lord, let them see and feel the comforting power of the Holy Spirit, because problems are not a sign that they're doing anything wrong. They're not a sign that they've missed you. It's not a sign for that. Lord, it's a sign that the devil's trying to stop them from fulfilling their divine purpose here on earth. So comfort that in that today, Lord. In Jesus' name.